All of a sudden, she turned around and his gut shrank. Her face was scarred. Her large eyes were nothing more than an eerie shadow. Bearing a set of fangs, she attacked. Chapter 10. Nick staggered back as the little girl grew to over 6 feet tall. Towering over him, she grabbed him by the shirt with hands made of talons and laughed in his face.
You should have done what your friends wanted you to, Gaucher, and helped them rob and kill that couple. You made a big mistake by being nice. So long as you let your goodness weaken you, we can feed on you.
She moved to bite his neck. He kicked her back and sprinted for the street. Just as he reached it, three more creatures appeared to block his way. They looked like men, but cold lightning danced in the sockets where their eyes should be. The alley's temperature instantly dropped 20 degrees to leave him shivering. Worse, these newcomers smelled like something that came out of the back end of the mules that pulled the carriages through the quarter. Dang, didn't they ever bathe? The lead one tisked at him, flashing a set of sharp, jagged fangs.
Did you really think you could get away from us?
Yeah, he did. Nick stepped back and looked for a way to get past them. They completely shielded him from the street. There was no way to reach it without coming into contact with them. And behind him was just a dead-end alley. Crap. What do you want? Nick asked, trying to think of a third option. The girl grabbed him from behind.
We want to kill you.
She sank her teeth into his neck. Hissing, Nick slammed his good arm into her midsection. She released him enough that he was able to twist out of her arms and scramble away from her. The other three came at him.
Where's an axe when I need one? Better yet, a rocket launcher.
The raven swooped down to land on his injured shoulder. The moment its talons touched him, something like electricity went through his body. It was so intense and painful that it sucked his breath out. For 30 seconds, everything seemed to stop. The wind, his attackers, the bird, his heart. When the world returned to normal, it came back with a rush that slammed into him so hard he gasped. His senses sharper than they'd ever been before, he realized his arm was no longer injured.
Fight!
The voice in his head sounded demonic. From somewhere deep inside him, Nick felt a power rise up and radiate through his entire body. The bird launched itself back to the balcony to watch as the things attacked him. Even though he knew they were moving at an inhumanly fast speed, he saw them as if they were in slow motion. It was like he was possessed by something else. The first one struck. Nick dodged the blow and returned it with one of his own. The creature staggered back. He spun to catch the next one with a headbutt. The third one screamed out in rage as he ran for Nick's back. Nick flipped him over and slung him to the street before he slammed his fist into his chest. The female kicked him into the wall. Nick turned around and blocked the punch she sent to his throat. Like something out of a movie, she punched him repeatedly and he countered every blow. When did I learn kung fu? And his mom said all those Jackie Chan movies were a waste. Apparently, he'd learned by osmosis, 'cause there was no way he knew this otherwise. He felt like he could take on the world. Someone tossed me some nunchucks. Kicking her back, he caught another of the creatures and slammed him into the first. Within a matter of seconds, they were on the ground, and he was standing over them without even breathing hard, in a perfect Sotobaraki Jigo Hantai Dachi stance. Take that, Chuck Norris. The bird cawed as if in approval before it flew off into the night. Nick straightened up. His shoulder didn't hurt at all. More than that, he had total control of it, which was something his doctor and physical therapist had said would take months to have again. What's going on? He would think this is a dream, but for the fact he knew he was awake. The creatures evaporated into a fine mist that scattered into the shadows while the temperature returned to normal. All of a sudden, there was a man in front of him. One who bore a striking resemblance to his father, except this one had a strange double bow and arrow mark on his face. Dressed in black, he had on a long leather coat that fell to his ankles. With hair the same color as Nick's, only longer, he stood 6'4" and had a well-trimmed goatee. And whereas Nick's eyes were blue, his were as black as his clothes. Nick braced himself to fight. "Who are you?"
"Relax, Nicky. I'm just a friend who's here to help you."
"How so?" The man held his hand up and a ball of light appeared in his palm, where it danced and flickered in the darkness. His face grim, he closed his hand and the light vanished.
"You have no idea how important you are, how many powers and creatures will be fighting over you. But trust me, kid, the only one who really cares about you besides your mother is me."
Nick wasn't so sure about that. "And you are?"
"Your uncle, Ambrose."
"Yeah, right. I don't have an uncle."
"Of course you do, Nick. You're even named after me."
He shook his head. He was named after his father and grandfather. At least, that's what he'd always been told. "My mom never mentioned you."
"Because I'm from your father's side, and she doesn't really know about me. But that doesn't matter. My goal is to keep you from making some really bad mistakes."
"Such as what, talking to you?"
Ambrose laughed. "The world is not what you see, kid. There's a veil over everything, and it's blinding you the way it blinds most people."
He brushed the hair back from Nick's eyes, and the moment he did, a jolt went through Nick.
"That is perspicacity. The ability to see what's hidden. My gift to you, even though you've already had a taste of it. Now it's more honed and reliable. I don't want anyone fooling you again."
Nick staggered back as he saw Ambrose not as a man, but as something else. His skin was mottled black and red, his eyes bright yellow. Ambrose wasn't human, and that terrified him. "What are you?"
"Your friend. Always. I'm the only being you'll ever be able to trust."
Words were easy, and actions often lethal. Nick wasn't dumb enough to think for one minute that this guy was on the level. "Dude, I don't know you, and I'm not about to trust you."
"You know me much better than you think. Look inside yourself, and you'll know I'm telling you the truth."
Nick looked, and what he saw there made his blood run cold. He refused to believe it. Unable to stand it, he started to run, but couldn't. It was like an unseen power held him prisoner.
"I know you don't trust me. I don't blame you. But you will learn to listen in time. I've unlocked your powers early this time around, for your protection."
Ambrose was whacked. There was no other explanation. "What powers? Are you high?" Nick asked him. A wicked smile curled his lips, showing Nick a set of fangs.
"No, but you must keep what I'm going to teach you quiet. Let no one, especially not Acheron, No.
"How do you know about Acheron?"
"Oh, it's not time for you to understand that yet. But my tampering isn't without problems. Those Mortons who attacked you a moment ago are just a few such byproducts. Don't worry, though. You'll have the ability to battle them, and you'll grow stronger every time they attack you. I haven't left you defenseless in this."
"Look," Nick said, interrupting him. "I don't know what you've been sniffing." He tried to move past, but Ambrose stopped him.
"I'm on your side, Nick. You don't have many friends, and even fewer you can trust."
"Like Nakota?" He didn't know why her name popped into his head, but it did, along with an image of her smiling face. Bonus round was the look of shock on Ambrose's face.
"Nakota?"
Yeah, he wasn't as smart as he thought, and that gave Nick a new confidence that Ambrose might still be lying. "You don't know her?" Ambrose tilted his head as if he was trying to listen to the cosmos.
"How can you know someone I don't?"
Probably easy, since I don't know you at all. He shook his head.
Something's not right. This isn't possible.
He vanished into nothing. Nick looked around, turning a small circle. There was no sign of anything. I've lost my mind. Perhaps, but his arm was still working, and he felt no pain.
Then, as easy as it had come over him, the power vaporized. It flooded out of him and left every part of his body aching. The pain of his shoulder drove him to his knees. Wave after wave of agony cascaded over him until it dulled his vision. One minute, he was standing. The next, the street rose up to knock him down. And the last thing he heard was a deep, female voice.
You belong to us, Nick Gauthier. And you will learn your place, or we will see you dead.
Chapter 11. The raven left Nick and flew up to the sky, then vanished as it was summoned away from Norlands. When it reappeared, it wasn't in the quarter where it preferred to feed. It was miles away, flying over a razor wire fence. And because he was summoned here so often, the bird was as familiar with Angola Prison as any of the inmates. Buzzing past the guards' tower, he headed to the reception center, the building where the death row inmates were housed. He slowed as he approached the correct window.
I really don't want to do this.
But he had no choice. When he was summoned, he had to obey. Those were the rules, and any hesitation would only end badly for him. One minute he was perched on the sill, the next a hand appeared out of nowhere to grab his throat and haul him inside. Caleb manifested into human form as he stared at one of the most powerful demons ever spawned. Absolute, pure evil. Adarian Malachi was incapable of any kindness or mercy. Without a word, he drove Caleb headfirst into a wall. Then he pulled Caleb up and held him by the hair of his head.
What do you think you're doing?
He snarled in Caleb's left ear. Caleb grimaced as he tasted the blood that was seeping from his nose. He knew better than to fight. It would only make Adarian more cruel and worsen his beating.
Training Nick like you ordered.
He tightened his grip in Caleb's hair.
With Mortens? Are you out of your mind? He could have been killed. Why didn't you stop them from attacking him?
Those words stunned him on more levels than he could count. Why would Adarian care if some snot-nose bought the farm?
I didn't know he'd run into them, but since they showed up, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity for him to start learning to fight. I was there the whole time watching. He was never in any real danger. Besides, if he dies, you live. What's the crime in that?
You're so stupid.
He released him. Caleb turned and shoved him back as he took his true form. He knew he shouldn't, but it wasn't in him to not fight back. At the end of the day, he was a demon, and he never swallowed crap from others without vomiting venom back up.
Stand down, Malachi. You're not as powerful as you think.
Adarian laughed.
And I own you, so don't even try to intimidate me. I've picked my teeth from the bones of demons stronger and older than you.
That was probably true, but it didn't change the fact that Caleb would give anything to have the power to destroy Adarian. How did I become enslaved to this? There was no word foul enough to describe him. Unfortunately, Caleb knew exactly what had led him here, and he hated that as much as he hated Adarian.
I've done exactly what you've asked. I've watched over your sniveling spawn for these last few years while not interfering with anything he's done.
You should have befriended him before now.
Caleb was stunned by those words.
You told me not to.
Adarian seized him by the throat. His eyes glowed a deep, deadly red.
And now I'm telling you to guard him with your life.
There's a new power here, one I can't discern, but it's following him, and I want you to keep him safe, so help me if anything happens to my son, I will come for you, and when I'm through, you'll wish you could crawl back to the slime hole where I found you.
Caleb felt his teeth sharpen and elongate in response to the threat.
I command legions,
and I command you.
Never forget that.
If only he could.
One day I'm going to break free of you, Malachi.
And until you do,
you will do exactly as I order. Now guard my boy and his mother. Let nothing happen to them. Do you understand?
I understand, but how am I to train him if I can't have him attacked? Adarian's lips curled into a sardonic smile.
You're resourceful. Find a way. And remember, I'm in this jail because I choose to be. I can leave it and come for you anytime I want to.
It was true. Adarian lived here because he fed off the cruelty and evil of others. This prison was like living in an energizer factory where he was concerned. It kept him super strong and able to deflect anything that came to him. Except for his son. Nick's presence could weaken him instantly. Little Prick had no idea that by avoiding his father, he was allowing Adarian's powers to remain at full strength, which put the rest of them at a major disadvantage. Adarian pulled him closer.
You better not betray me, Malphus. Not in this.
Caleb would accuse him of loving the boy, but he knew better. This wasn't about love, it was about power. If Adarian could keep Nick alive and away from him, he could rebuild his army through Nick, and there would be no power on this earth or beyond that could stop him. None. Other than Nick, the only one who was capable of bringing down the Malachi army, was now imprisoned and kept as weak as a sick kitten. While Adarian's powers grew, Jared's deteriorated under the care of a vicious guardian who had no idea just how important her prisoner was. The balance of power was shifting, just as it had done in the days before recorded history. Then, the bloodiest of all battles had raged. One of the fiercest soldiers, Caleb had barely survived it, and the memory of it burned inside him. The fight with Adarian's father had cost him everything. Now he was servant to his son. Life really sucked.
I will obey you, master.
Adarian smiled.
Good boy. And remember, my son must be evil to the marrow of his bones. You have to turn him, no matter what it takes. Do you hear me?
What if the only way I can turn him is to kill the mother? Adarian seized his throat again.
You touch one hair on her head, you allow anyone else to, and I will make you pay in ways you can't imagine in your wildest nightmares. Charisse is mine, and no one else is to ever lay a hand on her.
That was the one order Caleb couldn't understand. Again, he would attribute it to love, but there was no way the Malachi could love anything except himself and his quest for power. Bowing low, he backed away from Adarian. Caleb had to force himself not to sneer as he retook his raven form and flew through the wall. But once he was out of sight, he used his talons to flip off the demon lord. Protect the boy, my arse. What irony, really. The fate of the entire world of humanity and demonkin was in the hands of a 14-year-old boy who had no idea of the untapped powers he'd been born with. A 14-year-old boy whose biggest fear was getting grounded by a mother who wouldn't even be a decent snack for Caleb and his kith. What a waste of power. And I'm the schmuck who has to protect him. Not just from the demons, but also from the werewolves like Stone and others who had a natural inclination to pick on Nick because they could sense that he wasn't quite human. Caleb let out a tired breath. Would his indignities never cease? Chapter 12.
Hello, Mr. Human Boy Person? Can you hear the Seamy? Or are you dead? Hello?
Nick came awake to someone poking a hole in his upper arm with her fingertip.
Ow, would you stop poking on me?
He opened his eyes to find one of the prettiest girls he'd ever seen leaning over him. Dang, teach me to be rude before I find out who's assaulting me, because this girl was F-I-N-E, and he was more than willing to be her victim any time she wanted to invade his personal space, even if it was with nothing more than her fingertip. Her long black hair hung in pigtails and was streaked with blood red. She had on a studded leather choker that matched the black leather corset she wore. Probably around the age of 17 or 18, she had a pair of red eyes, must be some of those weird contacts, that were ringed with black eyeliner. Her lips were also bright red, like her fingernails, and her features were absolutely perfect. Dressed in a really short black and red skirt, she had purple leggings and a pair of bright red Doc Martens that were accented with a skull and rose motif. She cocked her head in a gesture that reminded him of a bird, as she eyed him with consternation.
Why are you sleeping on the ground out here, Mr. Boy Human? The Seamy don't think this is a safe thing to do. Comfortable, either. Someone might think you dead and steal something, or they could kill you. Maybe not if they think you're dead already, but then again, people do weird things all the time, like killing dead people even though they're dead. Is that overkill, or is that just dumb? Never mind. So you should probably get up soon and not sleep here. Did you lose your bed? Or are you one of them special people who don't have a bed but sleep outside instead? Some of them can be real nice. Some even offer the Seamy drinks, but Akri says I can't have any because it'll give me indigestion. Not like rubber does, but worse, so says Akri.
She had a strange, sing-songy voice that was endearing and adorable, but it made understanding her a little difficult, especially with the headache he had.
What?
Nick asked. She let out a long, suffering sigh.
You, one of them humans, can't follow Seamy speak. That's okay. This why the Seamy don't bother talking to most humans, 'cause, no offense, you all weird. Some of you even stupid, real stupid, like stump stupid. It's the lack of hornays, I say. See, only really smart creatures have hornays, except for them moo-moo cows. They not bright, but Akri says there's always an exception to every rule, so they would be the exception to the hornay one, but they taste really good, so the Seamy will forgive them for being down her bell curve of superior intellect over all the other non-horned subspecies.
She narrowed her eyes on his head.
I bet you'd be really cute with hornays. Not that you're not cute right now, but you're a bit young. You're only, what, 4 in human years? Oh, wait, that's wrong, isn't it? You 90?
Was she serious? 14.
Oh.
She put the tip of her finger to her lips as she considered something.
I wouldn't have guessed that. Still, you're young, so can the Seamy help you find a place to sleep that's not dangerous? My Akri can help if we need him to. He always does.
Nick shook his head. Who are you? What planet are you from? Obviously, Planet Insanity was missing a local long-term resident. She held her lace-covered hand out to him.
I am the Seamy. And who are you, Mr. Boy Human?
He shook her hand carefully in case her lunacy was catching. Nick. Letting go of him, she picked at the edge of his sling.
You got a wound, don't you? Did you have that before you went to sleep on the street?
Yeah. Nick pushed himself up and Seamy sprang to her feet beside him. Well, she was tall, at least 6 feet. Of course, some of that was augmented by the platform boots. Frowning, she leaned forward and touched his neck.
You bleeding, Mr. Nick. Are you supposed to do that?
Nick brushed her hand away so that he could feel a cut there. He tried to remember what had happened, but for his life he had no memory of it. The last thing he remembered was leaving Caleb and heading toward Bourbon.
Is it bad? The Seamie wouldn't suggest being around no daemon with that, 'cause they might be hungry, and it might look mighty tempting to drain your blood out and feast on your soul, but it not gushing or anything. I think you'll live.
She paused again, as if thinking about it.
Yeah, that's right. People only die when it gushes and don't stop. If you don't live, though, and drop dead from it, can the Seamie eat you? Akari says the Seamie can't eat no living people, but he never said no about them newly dead people. Maybe that's why he don't let me near them, fresh dead. But
what are you talking about? Nick said, interrupting her. Are you for real? She blinked innocently.
What you mean?
Biting her lip, she looked at her hand.
The Seamie's not turning invisible again, is she? Ooh, that would be bad. I promised Akri I wouldn't do that no more in public places, but sometimes the Seamie can't help it, kind of like putting barbecue sauce on salads. It's just mandatory and reflexive, 'cause you gots to kill the taste of the ick rabbit food.
Nick stepped away from her. She was nuts with a capital N. Was there any female left in New Orleans under the age of 20 who hadn't lost her mind? Cody. Yeah, he definitely needed a Cody shot right about now. He cleared his throat as he looked at Seamie. No, you're not turning invisible, and I'm sure I'm late, so I better get going. She stepped in front of him to stop his leaving.
Did you hear that sound?
What sound?
Zombies. They're coming for us. Whee! Yum!
Ian Keaton was alone in his big brother Madog's room. He wasn't supposed to be in here, ever, under penalty of severe mutilation and much shouting by their parents. But Madog always had the coolest games, which he refused to share with his little brother. The big poop head. What he doesn't know won't get my arm frogged. Yeah, Madog had run out the door hours ago, and he didn't seem to be coming back anytime soon, which gave Ian plenty of time to sneak on Madog's computer and play his brother's latest creation, Pokemon Death Trap Fever. His brother had taken all the characters from Pokemon and merged them with the ones from Mortal Kombat. Like, Charizard now had acid spit and could rip the spine out of other characters while laughing at them. It was a bloodbath deathmatch that would leave their mother fainting if she ever knew. But what she didn't know wouldn't get Ian grounded. Grinning, he booted up, then cringed at Madog's stinky manga wallpaper that bordered on hentai, another thing their mother would die over. The cartoon girl had so little clothing on, she might as well be naked, and the way she had her leg lifted up, kicking. He gagged, ew. I just don't get it. Ian put his hand up to block the view of the girl as he went into the menu to find the games. His brother kept telling him that he'd get it in a few years, along with hair in weird places and body odor. Honestly, Ian liked being 10 and had no desire to grow up and smell, especially if it meant smelling like Madog. He shivered at the thought as he read through the games. He paused as one in particular caught his eye. Zombie Hunter? Madog hadn't told him about this one. Ooh, it sounded good. Double-clicking on it, he waited for it to load. Rubbing his hands together, he giggled, knowing he was getting away with something that would really anger his brother if Madog ever found out about it. And Ian loved getting away with things he wasn't supposed to be in. Suddenly, he heard a sound outside the door. Ian jumped, terrified it was Madog coming in to discover him in his room on his computer. I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. His brother would beat him until he screamed like a girl. Killing the power to the computer, he shot from the desk. His heart hammering, he went to the door and opened it. It wasn't Madog. It was some tall and scary guy he'd never seen before. His eyes were bloodshot and swollen as he glared down at Ian.
Brains, he growled.
Ian rolled his eyes. Please, what was it with teenagers that they thought something that stupid would intimidate the big kids? I'm not a baby. You can't scare me with that stuff. He lifted his chin defiantly. Until the guy grabbed him and bit him in the shoulder. Screaming out, Ian did what his mom had always told him to do whenever a guy grabbed him. He hit him in the nuts as hard as he could. The zombie staggered back, but he was still in the doorway, blocking him from leaving. Panic swelled as Ian's lips trembled.
"I'm so sorry I'm in your room, Modig. I'll never come into it again unless you tell me to, I swear."
That was, as long as the zombie didn't eat his brains. Ian ran to Modig's desk, looking for a weapon. Dang it, his geekified brother didn't even have a trophy to bash the zombie in the head with. All he had was a half-eaten ham sandwich, a Yoda bobblehead, an empty can of Dr. Pepper, potato chip crumbs, a greasy two-day-old pizza box, a bunch of CDs, and a glasses case. All of that was worthless.
Think, Ian, think.
The zombie grabbed him again. Ian picked up the only thing he could reach, a pencil. Not just for doing homework. They were good for all kinds of things. Resetting his Nintendo, undoing knots in his shoes, getting stuff out from under his fingernails, drawing on the wall, and stabbing zombies.
"Yah!"
he shouted as he stabbed it into the zombie's arm as hard as he could. The zombie screamed. Like a frightened jackrabbit, Ian squatted between his legs and ran for the stairs.
"Mom!"
he called as he scrambled for safety. Luckily, he was used to running for his life from his two older brothers, whose tempers and kill-the-little-brother mindsets made the zombie look like a poser.
"Mom!"
he yelled again as he entered the kitchen and rounded the island where she stood making dinner.
"Help! A zombie's after me!"
She let out a frustrated breath as he grabbed her about the waist. "What in the world is wrong with you, Boo?" Ian tried to explain, but before he could get more than a handful of words out, the zombie was in the kitchen, glaring at him. The pencil was still protruding from his forearm as he growled at them. Ian's mom scowled at the teenager.
"Danny? What are you doing here? How did you get into the house? I didn't hear the door. He's trying to eat our brains, Mom!"
She tisked down at him. "Ian, don't be ridiculous. Danny goes to church with us. Don't you know him?"
"No."
He would remember if he'd ever seen a zombie at church. The limping and groaning tended to stand out. His mom turned back to Danny.
"Are you here for a donation? I heard your youth group was..."
Danny grabbed Ian's mom and bit her on the head. She screamed.
"Don't you hurt my mama!"
Ian ran at him with the whole of his weight, driving him back a few steps and causing him to let go of Ian's mom. Ian clamped down on Danny's leg and bit him until he tasted blood.
"No one attacks my mama."
Danny cried like a girl while Ian's mom picked up the pan where she'd been making biscuits. She bashed Danny's head repeatedly with the pan, forcing him away from them.
"Get behind me, Ian!"
For once, Ian did as she told him. She backed away from Danny toward the front door. Ian was feeling pretty good about their escape until he turned around. There were more zombies on the front porch. And they all looked hungry. Caleb's heart skipped a beat as he flew in as a raven and saw Nick and some unknown female completely surrounded by zombies as they tried to fight them off. Malachi's gonna kill me. Because from his vantage point, it looked like the zombies were getting the better of them. Nick was covered in blood from various bite wounds, while the female seemed to be doing a better job and keeping them off her. Summoning his powers, Caleb sent a mental wave to the zombies to disperse them. They didn't listen. If anything, it made them even more aggressive against Nick. What the crap? As a demon, one of their first learned powers was to be able to control the dead. It was the lesson Nick was supposed to be learning right now. But Caleb's powers were useless against the zombies. How could this be? It didn't make sense. Not that it had to make sense to thoroughly tick him off. And then he realized why he couldn't control them. They weren't dead. These zombies had been made from the living he could possess or influence, but he couldn't control them without their cooperation. Growling in frustration, Caleb flew toward the street into the shadows where he took human form. The demon in him wanted to blast the zombies into oblivion, but that would blow his cover, and he'd already learned the hard way 3 years ago that his powers didn't work on Nick. If he exposed his powers and Nick saw them, there was no way to undo it. He'd be screwed, and Nick would never trust him again. Of course, he could try the clumsy and inexact human method of memory loss by bashing Nick on the head. It might work, or it might give him a concussion. Worse, it might kill him. And since Caleb's survival hinged on Nick's, best not to chance it. So instead, he rushed into the alley to help them, then drew up fast, as he realized the girl with Nick wasn't a girl after all. She was a demon, too. A Caronte demon, to be precise. Oh, Dusseldorf, this was getting complicated. He shielded his powers immediately. The problem with the Caronte, they were highly territorial and didn't tolerate other demons in their domain. Ever. To them, if you weren't Caronte, you were garbage, and all garbage should be eaten. Literally, slowly, and with relish, or, more often than not, with barbecue sauce. Since the Caronte were one of the most powerful branches of demon, it served him best to stay off her radar and menu. But why she was with Nick and not attacking him, he had no idea. Caronte didn't normally associate with anyone unless, as previously noted, they were on the menu. Nick! Caleb shouted as one of the zombies went for Nick's neck. Behind you! Nick turned around as he heard Caleb shout to see Brett Guidry, one of his classmates, coming at his back. Grateful Caleb had returned, he indicated Brett with his chin. We've got to get these guys to Bubba's. Anyone got a clue how to do it? Simi looked at him.
They gotta be breathing?
Yes, Nick and Caleb said in unison.
Well, poo, Simi poked her lips out. That just takes all the fun out of it, she let out a dramatic sigh.
Nick was overwhelmed by the Herculean task. How did 3 high school students get 12 zombies to Bubba's store without getting eaten? Why didn't I stay home? Look on the bright side. Trouble was, he didn't see a bright side. I knew I should have taken up lumberjackery, and not the one where you shoot snot out your nose, or the other one he didn't want to think about while fighting. 'Cause, face it, both of those would be worthless right now. Rather, lumberjackery, where you break the army of darkness with a chainsaw all over the deadites and send them into oblivion. Or at least send them out of his sight. The zombies closed in. Nick braced himself for more hand-to-hand, literally, in his case, fighting. Suddenly, Simi grabbed him and Caleb by their hands and ran with them to the corner. She hesitated under the street sign.
Where's Bubba's?
Nick pointed down the street toward the store.
Okay. Simi released their hands. You boys run on, and I'll get them there right behind you.
Nick shook his head as all the lessons his mom had taught him roared to the forefront. That's not right. I'm not about to leave a girl to be eaten by crazies. Caleb looked over his shoulder to where the zombies were closing in, fast. Folks, we stand here arguing, and we're gonna die. He grabbed Nick and pulled him forward. Let her be the bait. We need to get the doors open. Nick would have fought him too, but Caleb's grip was too fierce, leaving him no choice except to follow or lose his other arm. They only got half a block before 2 more zombies stepped out of the darkness to attack them. Nick cursed as he pulled up short and kicked the first one back into the alley. How many of these are there? Caleb shook his head. I'm beginning to wonder if Modog didn't license the game to Sony or something. Where are all of them coming from? Raccoon City cloning farm? What is going on here? Nick stepped back to avoid being bitten. We're about to get our butts kicked. That's what's going on. He scissor-kicked the zombie closest to him. Then he looked to see Simi leading the others closer. I'm beginning to feel like Jim Bowie the Alamo. Caleb knocked the zombie in front of him back. Yeah, but we're not going to die. I wish I could be so sure of that. 'Cause right now things were not looking good for him. And if he was a betting man, he'd be betting on the zombies. Even so, Nick pushed his fear and panic down and kept moving toward the store, drawing the zombies along behind him while he continued to beat them off. Gah, if one more of them touched his wounded shoulder, he was going to forget the ban on killing them and go hog wild, chainsaw or not. I really don't like being the dangling carrot.
Better than being the dead duck, Caleb
smacked the zombie closest to him. He had a good point with that. Nick was the first one to reach the store. He opened the door and called for Bubba, Madag, and Mark. We got a group coming in. You might want to widen that room and be ready to lock it tight. But getting them into the store was hard enough. Into the room? Where were the X-Men when you really needed them? Nick grabbed the cattle prod that Bubba kept hanging on the wall behind the counter. Again, for those just-in-case moments. He was beginning to not only understand Bubba's paranoia, but be grateful for it. Bubba was right. You never knew when these things could come in handy. It did pay to keep a cattle prod and axe on hand. The necessity of the rocket launcher and blasting caps remained to be seen. At least the cattle prod would make it easier to corral them. But the moment Nick touched the prod to the zombie closest to him, Brett, he realized Mark and Bubba had made some serious modifications to the voltage. This wasn't a typical cattle prod to move people along. This one was meant to stun and stun hard. The jolt was so severe, it drove the zombie to the floor like a million-volt stun gun.
What the?
Nick gaped at Bubba, who grinned in all his unabashed glory.
Neighbors don't complain when I shock people, only when I shoot them.
Mark agreed, but the downside is it's a pain to drag them out of the store, and if you leave them in here when they wake up, they're usually pretty pissed and looking for blood. Madug, Caleb, and Simi continued to try and beat the zombies into the holding cell. Nick zapped another zombie that was going for Simi. It was actually kind of fun. He'd touch them with the prod, they'd scream and then flop to the ground like dying fish. Made him wonder what would happen if they were wet, but he wasn't sadistic enough to test that curiosity. Lucky for them. He shocked another one who went for his head and sent the zombie flailing. The guy could get used to this, especially if he didn't go to jail for it. By the time Nick had dosed the last one and Bubba and Mark were dragging the first one into the room, they made a shocking discovery. As the voltage wore off, the zombies returned to normal.
Get your hands off me, Brett snarled as he shoved Bubba back. My dad's a lawyer, and I'm gonna sue you for offensive touching.
Bubba arched a brow.
You might want to rethink that, boy, because if I'm gonna get sued for offensively touching you, I'm gonna make it worth my while. Think about it.
Brett's face paled. He looked around the store as if he was waking up from a nightmare.
How did I get here?
Nick angled the cattle prod at him, still not trusting that he was completely normal. He'd seen that movie too many times, where the idiots think the monster's gotten over whatever had it possessed, only to turn back into the monster and kill them the instant they let down their guard. No way. He wasn't about to become intelligent zombie kibble.
You were trying to eat my brains, you psycho.
Brett gaped at him.
What?
Caleb nodded. It's true, dude. You went for Gaucher's throat, and mine too.
Madug took the prod from Nick so that he could examine the prongs on the end of it.
Wow, Nick, you found the cure. That's how we fix it.
Electrocution? Nick asked, trying not to smile as he thought about seriously zapping stone. Madug nodded.
The voltage works on the central nervous system. I'm thinking it works like a power surge that causes the programming to dump and essentially reboot to the original that existed before they played my game. It reverses everything. Nick, you're a friggin' genius.
Nick rested the cattle prod up on his good shoulder.
Well, someone slapped my butt and give me a hero cookie.
Simi stepped forward and slapped him on the right cheek.
Hey,
Nick snapped, rubbing his offended buttocks. She blinked innocently.
You told me to, or would you rather have had one of them men slap your butt instead?
Nick was horrified by the mere suggestion.
If someone is touching that part of me, I'd much rather it be you than one of them.
Or better yet, Cody.
Us too,
the guys said quickly. As they stood there, one by one, the zombies came out of it. All of them were disoriented and baffled by what had happened to them. And none of the 12 guys on the floor remembered having played Madug's game. None of them. Nick scowled at Madug.
You think when I shocked them that it caused some kind of memory loss?
Which really worried him, since he had a memory lapse himself. Had he been a zombie and not known it?
Please don't let me have eaten any brains.
That was the only thing he knew that could make his mom's powdered eggs taste good. Madug scratched his chin as he thought about it.
I don't know. We need a case study.
Bubba paused and turned toward him.
Case study how?
Madug raked his hand through his hair.
We have to get to Brian. Shock him and see. It's the only way to know for sure, since he's the only one I know, for a fact, was turned into a zombie after playing my game.
Not to be one to ever interject logic into anything, Nick laughed nervously.
You'd know he's in jail, right?
And that the police tend to get a little perturbed at people who show up there with cattle prods and stun guns. I'm just saying.
Simi jumped up and down. We could get the police to shoot him.
Mark scoffed. Our luck, they'd shoot him with a real gun and kill him. Then we'd learn nothing. Like that was the worst fear they had at the moment? Yeah. Madog didn't relent.
We've got to either get him out, or we get in to see him and stun him. Otherwise, we don't really know if this is going to work. It could be temporary, and they could turn right back into zombies. Think about it.
Nick was thinking about it. He was thinking of spending the rest of his life in jail, provided his mother didn't kill him first. I don't guess any of you former zombies would like to go into the holding cell until we sort this out?
Brett seized him by the shirt.
I don't know what game you and Geek Boy are playing, Gaucher, but you get in my way as I leave and I'll wipe my boots on your balls.
Nick cringed involuntarily at a threat that went down his spine like a shredder. Before he realized what was happening, Simi had taken Brett's hand and squeezed it so hard, Nick heard the bones break. Brett cried out. Simi held his hand in hers without letting up.
Nick is a friend of the Simi's. You threaten him? And you make the Simi really unhappy and want to eat your head. Trust me, not something you want me to think about. Now go away, mean person, or the Simi will tell Akri she don't know what happened to you in your masticated form. Not that I like to lie, but there are deceptions to every rule, and you're about to become one.
She shoved him back toward the room.
Now get in there and be quiet.
By their faces, it was obvious none of them wanted to obey, but none of them had the backbone to stand up to see me.
Bubba grinned. I like your friend, Nick. She doesn't mince words, does she?
Not really. But then some of the words she didn't mince really didn't make sense. And who the heck was this Akri she kept mentioning? He must be some serious badass to corral her.
Mark locked the hidden door and shut the wall so that no one entering the store could see their new prisoners.
Caleb frowned.
What if they start calling for help?
Won't do them any good,
Bubba said. It's soundproof and made with enough metal that no cell phones will go through neither. They're there until we let them out.
Mark let out a nervous laugh. Then let's not get killed and starve them to death?
Nick stared at Mark.
Mark, there are many, many reasons I don't want to get killed doing this. Other than just starving the ex-zombie hostages.
He looked over to Madog. Or go to jail. I cannot stress enough how badly I do not want to go to jail, and how badly I do not want to die. But he had a bad feeling that they were all about to head to one of those places, or the other.
Chapter 13.
Nick?
Mark called through the door as Nick was coming out of the shower.
It's your mom on the phone, and she's hotter than Angelina Jolie lying in a bikini on the equator covered in mud. Not that I'm saying your mom is good-looking. Not that she isn't, but I don't ever fantasize about your mom, because that would just be wrong to do to a guy. Not that your mom isn't fantasy-worthy, but yeah, hell, all that sounded better in my head. Look, my point is, she's angry, just take the phone before she scalds my ears some more.
Nick paused. That was an interesting tirade, and made him wonder about Mark's daydreams. Wait, never mind. Knowing Mark, those had to be terrifying. Heck, he was lucky Mark's dream girl wasn't zombified. He opened the door only enough to reach through it to get the phone from Mark before he put it up to his ear and braced himself for her anger.
Hey, Mom.
What are you doing?
Yeah, she was totally upset at him. That hot tone could melt polar ice caps.
Boy, where are you? Do you have any idea what time it is? You are so grounded when I see you, which, for your information, had better be soon, as in right now. If you're not walking through the door, which you're not, you're busted. You understand? Nick, are you listening to me? What do you have to say for yourself, huh, young man?
He honestly didn't know what to say that wouldn't make her twice as mad, which was not his goal right now. The name of the game was survival. I value my freedom, but I see severe restriction ahead. Too bad there weren't lawyers out there willing to represent kids with their parents.
Which question do you want me to answer first?
Don't you get smart with me, Nicholas Gaucher. I'm too mad at you running out of ticket.
He had to clamp down on his own temper. If he'd learned anything in his life, it was that his mom didn't react well to direct conflict. A nice, contrite Nicky was often the one who avoided being grounded even when he deserved it. "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm not trying to be smart." He was trying to get her to stop screaming at him. "I got covered in..." He paused before he said the word blood. That would flip her out even more. "Goo during the class." A small lie, but what she didn't know wouldn't give her a heart attack and him a restriction that lasted until he was bald and middle-aged. I wanted to take a bath at Bubba's before I headed back and got goo all over the club, which might get you into trouble. Not to mention the sight of his bloody clothes would have panicked her into calling the police, and the last thing Bubba needed was another arrest on his record. "I should have called and let you know first. I'm really sorry. I guess I spent more time in the shower than I meant to. Did you know Bubba has one of them steam things that comes down from the ceiling? You should see this bathroom, Mom. It's the coolest awesome ever." She refused to let him distract her. "Are you all right?" "Yes, ma'am." A little show of respect always went a long way in soothing her. She sighed. "Then I guess there's no harm. But you did scare me, Nick. I just want you to know that. Sorry, Ma. By the way, Bubba said he'd walk me over to the club." "That's mighty nice of him." Her voice was finally back to normal and not the "I want your butt on a platter" tone it had been a few minutes ago. "Tell him I said thanks." "I will. Is it okay if we stop for something to eat, too?" Her tone turned sharp again, like she was accusing him of something. "I thought you ate at Mr. Hunter's." "I did, but I'm hungry again." "Oh." She went from angry to calm so fast that he wondered if she wasn't the Ferrari of moms. Her top speed had to be 0.65 nanoseconds, maybe less. "You must be growing again. You want to come get some money?" "No, Mr. Hunter gave me some earlier." "Why?" Boom, her anger returned. Granted, it was tinged with something he thought might be fear or suspicion, but the primary tone was definitely anger. "Taxi money in case I needed it to get to work or home. He didn't want me on the streetcar after dark because he said he didn't want me to get hurt." Which, when combined with what Mr. Poitier had given him, was close to $100. They kept this up, and he might actually start making some progress on his ever-pathetic college fund. "I don't know what I think about that, Nick." What was there to think about? From his point of view, if they were willing to throw money at him and he didn't have to do anything for it, he was more than willing to take it. "Well, while you figure that out, can I eat?" She made a sound of aggravation. "I swear you're the lippiest child on the planet. Yes, Nicky, grab something to eat and I'll see you within the hour, or I will come and get you myself. Do you understand? And you will be a very sorry young man if I do."
"Yes, ma'am. I love you, baby."
Must be some mutant form of maternal bipolar disorder. There was no other explanation for the frightening mood swings.
"I love you too, Mom, and I really am sorry I worried you." "It's all right, it's what you're best at anyway. Remember to eat some vegetables, and neither French fries nor ketchup count." "Yes, ma'am."
Nick hung up the phone and dressed in his jeans and the Triple B Big Balls and Brains t-shirt Bubba had loaned him. The best part of it was Bubba's logo on the back that featured a photo of Bubba holding a shotgun over his shoulder as he leaned up against an oversized computer that had smoke coming out of the top of it and a bunch of bullet holes in the monitor. It read, "Computer problems? Dial 1-888-CALL-BUBBA. If I can't take care of your problems one way, I'll take care of them another." And in small print under it, it read, "We tend all manner of ills for you. Zombies, rodents, and vampires. If you got a pest, we got a cure. Just call us now. We will believe you." Yeah, Bubba really wasn't right in the head, but Nick loved the commercials he and Mark filmed for the store. They were hilarious and always ended with that slogan, "Call Bubba." Sad thing was, he knew for a fact that Bubba had used a few people's computers for target practice, and he didn't want to think about Mark and the anti-zombie duck urine. Shaking his head, Nick toweled off his hair and went downstairs to where Bubba, Mark, Simi, Caleb, and Modug were discussing the great jailbreak.
"They are so going to get me arrested, and my mom will kill me for it."
Simi pointed to the schematic Bubba had produced from memory of the numerous, what he liked to call, unfortunate incarcerations he'd had at the parish lockup.
See, now the Simi can napalm that and...
That might kill them, Simi, Nick pointed out. She looked up innocently.
Your point?
Nick was too stunned to answer her honest question. So Modug answered for him. We need Brian alive to test him.
Well, poo.
Simi crossed her arms over her chest and pouted.
You just take all the fun out of it, then. You sure you don't know my Akri?
They ignored her. Caleb leaned back in his chair to study them. Can a lawyer get in to see him? Bubba nodded as he studied his diagram.
Well, yeah, but a lawyer ain't gonna spring him.
Caleb smirked.
Depends on the lawyer.
Bubba looked up with a scowl.
How do you mean?
Caleb's eyes gleamed like a demon eyeing prey.
I know one who owes me a favor. You know a lawyer?
Bubba's voice was filled with disbelief. Caleb rubbed his hands down his shirt.
Hey, beneath these... Well, they're basically crappy clothes, but beneath them beats the heart of someone who knows the right people willing to sometimes do the wrong thing for the right price.
Bubba wasn't completely sold on it, and neither was Nick.
Yeah, but we need to do this before anyone else gets killed. We have to know if this is a cure.
Caleb pulled out his cell phone.
Can be arranged, trust me.
Nick wasn't any more willing to buy into this than Bubba was, not to mention there was one really important as yet unaddressed factor.
How much is this going to cost us?
Caleb held his hand up.
Hi, this is Malphus calling to talk to Virgil Ward. Is he in?
He gave them a crap-eating grin as he waited. Nick could hear the tone of a deep voice on the line, but he couldn't make out the words.
Hey, Virg, long time.
Caleb laughed at something Virgil must have said.
No, it's nothing like that. We rather have a situation where we need to get into jail, not have you get us out.
He paused again to listen.
Yeah, I agree. Stupid is my middle name, you know that. I'm pretty sure you're the one who gave it to me. So, can you help a brother out?
He rolled his eyes.
No, you can't have my soul for it. I don't even have my soul. Yeah, I know you're a blood-sucking attorney, but you're gonna have to placate yourself with money like the rest of the mundanes.
Nick passed a scowl to Mark, Bubba, and Modug, who looked as puzzled as he felt. Caleb was definitely an odd duck.
Is that really what you want as payment?
Caleb flashed another grin at them.
Done. Can you meet us outside the jail in about 20 minutes? Yeah, we'll see you then. Thanks, bud. And yeah, I'm well aware of the fact that I owe you.
Hanging up the phone, he winked at them. Let's go stun us a zombie. Nick couldn't believe Caleb had accomplished it so fast.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, don't be. One of you guys is gonna have to feed the vampire lawyer some blood, and it can't be me.
Nick rolled his eyes at Caleb's bizarre humor.
Why, you afraid of a little bite?
Caleb laughed.
I'm anemic.
And I'm Catholic. Does that knock me out of the running?
Caleb shook his head at Nick.
The Simi got some barbecue sauce in her bag. It kind of looks like blood if you squint at it the right way, and it don't coagulate between your teeth like blood or give you them funky burps, not to mention it tastes a lot better, too, especially over that type A stuff. Blah, I'd rather eat my shoes.
She straightened and held one finger up in a gesture that strangely reminded him of Smokey the Bear.
And just remember, kids, 3 out of 4 demons all prefer barbecue sauce over hemoglobin.
Okay.
Bubba stepped away from her, which said something.
When Bubba repudiated you, you knew you were the poster child for weird.
On that note, I guess we need to get into the truck.
Grabbing his keys and the cattle prod, Bubba led them outside to his giant black armada, which he said he'd bought because it was one of the few things large enough to haul all of his zombie-killing gear. And it was great for tailgate parties. Nick cast a doubtful glance at the cattle prod before he got into the back of the truck while the others piled in.
So, out of curiosity, any ideas on how we're gonna get a 3-foot cattle prod smuggled into jail?
Caleb buckled himself in.
That's why we need Virgil. He can smuggle in anything.
You think a lot of him, don't you?
Caleb shrugged. I've known him a long time and have seen him do things that would put hair on your chest.
Yeah, like what? Caleb refused to elaborate. Bubba got in and drove over to the Orleans Parish intake and lockup. Nick fell quiet as old memories surged of the handful of times he'd visited his dad, not here but prison, which was basically the same thing.
You keep that brat away from me, Charisse. I don't even want to look at his ugly face. Don't bring him up here anymore to see me.
Love you too, Dad. Nick still had no idea how his beautiful, kind mother had hooked up with such a monster. It didn't make any sense. She told him once that she liked bad boys. But there was a difference between a guy like him who had attitude and a guy like his dad who had mental damage. Why did women and girls find psychos so desirable? Even at his school, it was the vicious loons like Stone who got all the girls, while nice guys like him only got the finger when he asked them out. He'd never understand it. Of course, in his case, his mother's insistence on him wearing his foully ugly shirts didn't help. Whatever. He just hoped that with his DNA linking him to the psycho killer, that he never ended up inside something like this. That was the one promise he'd made to his mother he never wanted to break. Bubba pulled her on the back and parked under a streetlight.
What now? He asked Caleb.
We wait on Virgil.
How will he know which car's ours? Mark asked.
Before Caleb could answer, someone knocked on the window next to Bubba. Bubba jumped a foot in panic.
What the hell?
Caleb inclined his head to the... Nick scowled as his gaze focused on his friend. Virgil looked nothing like what he'd expected. A little over 6 feet tall, he couldn't be any older than 16 or 17. Even though he was in a suit and dressed like an attorney, he looked like a teenager going to a funeral. Surely he wasn't a real lawyer. Was he? Caleb opened his door and got out to talk to him.
Hey, Virg.
Virgil eyeballed them while they stayed in the car. There was an insidious air about him, but that could just be the evil lawyer funk.
What exactly do you need me to do?
Caleb glanced at Nick before he answered.
You know the kid who tried to eat his classmate this morning at St. Richard's?
Yeah.
We need you to shock him with a cattle prod and tell us what happens.
Keeping his lips closed, Virgil laughed until he realized Caleb wasn't joking. He sobered instantly.
Why?
We think we have a cure for his zombie programming.
Virgil's face went through a myriad of emotions, astonishment, puzzlement, and finally an expression that said he thought they were all short a few monkeys in their cage.
You're out of your mind, aren't you?
No, seriously. The kid who programmed the game that turned him into a zombie is in the car. Caleb pointed at Madog, who waved at Virgil. Virgil frowned at Caleb.
It's a program that turned him. Not magic.
Nope, not magic.
Too bad. There are a lot of people out there who would have killed for a potion. I could have made you rich.
Caleb shrugged. Hey, I'll have to find another way to make living zombies. In the meantime, we want to make sure that the ones we've turned back to human actually came into contact with the game. The only one the kid knows played it for sure is the one sitting in jail right now. He passed the cattle prod to Virgil. Warning, don't touch yourself with it. It's not low voltage like it's supposed to be. Bubba rigged it so that it actually lets loose over 1,000,000 volts.
All right,
Virgil said slowly.
Let me make sure I have this straight. The award-winning plan of intelligence that all ye brainiacs came up with is that I take an illegal, modified cattle prod into county lockup, past the people armed with guns who are trained to kill, find a kid who's waiting to be arraigned for an attempted murder trial, and shock him until he turns normal again. Anything else?
Nope, that'll do it. Virgil let out a slow breath as he eyed the cattle prod with a doubtful stare.
You seriously owe me.
I know. Without another word, Virgil headed for the front of the building. Nick was dying to see this miracle up close and personal. Hey, Bubba, can you unlock the door? I need a rest stop.
Sure.
Nick slid out of the SUV and made his way to the building to scope things out. Inside it, there were cops everywhere.
No doubt, right?
But what stood out most was the metal detectors.
There was no way Virgil was going to get through all that without getting shot. This ought to be entertaining. Nick had just got into position when Virgil waltzed in like he owned the place. Several officers greeted him and acted as if they didn't see the cattle prod at all. In fact, Virgil fed it through the belt scanner before he walked through the upright one, all the while talking to the officers. He was putting his shoes on when the cattle prod came out. One of the officers picked it up and held it out to Virgil.
"Don't forget your umbrella, Mr. Ward."
"Thanks, Cabal. I know it's not supposed to rain, but I believe in always being prepared."
"I hear you, especially here in Nolens. You never know when a downpour's gonna hit. As I always say, you don't like the weather?
Wait a minute."
Laughing, Virgil took the cattle prod and headed for the hallway. Nick was aghast as Virgil disappeared from his sight without anyone saying anything about his weapon. "You know, if I did that, they'd body slam me down and shoot me in the head for good measure." Stunned by what he'd seen, Nick made his way back to the SUV where the others were waiting. Bubba arched a brow at him.
"That was quick."
Nick buckled himself into his seat. "I've mostly wanted to see if Virgil made it past security." Caleb looked smug but didn't say anything.
"And?"
Mark asked. "Don't ask me how, but he did. They didn't even see it. It was like the cattle prod was invisible or something." Bubba frowned.
"Oh."
Simi let out a peeved huff.
"He's a vampire human, people. Jeez, didn't any of you notice?"
Mark scoffed.
"Most lawyers are. Ain't never met one yet what wasn't a blood sucker or a soul sucker."
Caleb's phone started ringing. He picked it up and answered it.
"Yeah."
He listened for a second, then said,
"Wait, I'm putting you on speaker."
He switched it on.
"Now, repeat what you just told me."
"What the hell's in this cattle prod? I about launched the kid through the wall."
Caleb snorted. "Not that part, Virgil. Move on."
"Okay. I shocked him, and now he's squalling like a girl, wanting his mommy. He says he has no idea of how he got here. I asked him about biting the kid, and he has no idea what I'm talking about. Best of all, he's no longer trying to eat my brains, which have to be missing for me to agree to this. So to answer your experiment, I think it works."
Bubba looked skeptical.
"Can we trust his report?" "You do know I can hear you, right?"
Virgil's tone was irritated.
"Yeah,"
Bubba drawled. "And I repeat, can we trust you?"
"Well, since I don't have a dog in this fight, yeah. Why would I lie? Not that I'm beyond those ethics. I fully believe in whatever lie will set me free, but in this case, I'm being honest. The kid's now clean. Listen for yourself."
"I want to go home. Why am I here? I don't understand what happened."
Caleb turned the speaker off.
"Thanks, Virgil. I'll get the payment to you later."
He paused, then looked at Mark and Bubba.
"You guys need your cattle prod back?"
"Absolutely,"
Mark said.
"We got some people to shock."
Caleb nodded, then spoke into the phone.
"If you don't mind, please bring it back to us."
Virgil appeared before he could hang up the phone. This time, Nick was the one who jumped as Bubba got out to return the cattle prod to the back of the SUV. Virgil eyed Nick closely as he studied him through the car window.
"Don't I know you?"
Nick shook his head as a strange chill went over his body that made his skin